For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
We've seen everything from bruises, burns, just being left without any resources.
That can be a socio-economical. We have the rise of inflation and living standard is really high, and elderly people are like a burden or something to the immediate families or to the caregivers. That is one of the reasons why the elderly are being the victim.
And some of us still have to remind our children, you got to honor your father and your mother. And it's the same with your grandparents or your elderly.
Sisters, we know you love your boo-boos and you would hate to think of anyone hurting them. But did you know that 1 in 6 people over 60 have been abused? Those are the startling statistics from the World Health Organization. It's harder to find research relating to the Pacific, but what we do know is there are people raising the alarm around elder abuse in the region, and it's time we stop to listen. I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's talk about elder abuse. Here are some sobering figures for you. In Fiji last year, around 2,000 cases of abuse were reported to the police. That includes physical, emotional, and financial abuse. My next guest, Sashi Kiran, is the Minister for Women, Children, and Social Protection in Fiji, and she sheds more light.
In the police reports, the majority of the reports are against property theft or children or family members taking away their belongings or their assets. It seems that there is an increasing trend for abuse against older persons, and that is maybe because they're not heard or they don't feel heard or seen. And in particular, post-COVID, because during COVID, the older persons felt much more of a burden. And we actually have seen suicide cases that have been consistently there, both suicide and attempted suicide. And with a lot of awareness last year, we have seen a marked decrease in the first half of last year. But we see that because they are vulnerable and they depend on their children, and we often also see that they don't want to report against the children. They don't want action taken against the children, that they silently suffer from abuse. Mm-hmm. Also, we are seeing that the out-migration. So when children leave their parents, especially in care of others, or leave them neglected, that has also been a challenge. We've also noted cases where children have come in and sold the property and sometimes taken the older persons abroad, where they do not adjust and they come back and they don't have a property and they don't have care left anymore.
Speaking about the abuse, how serious is the abuse?
We've seen everything from bruises, burns, just being left without any resources. We have seen property theft, so people coming onto the streets or coming into aged care, state care homes, because they have no resources left. Also, because of the drug cases or younger people get involved in drugs and then they abuse the older persons to try and extort money for drugs. And in those cases, we have seen very violent abuse. So it can be quite bad in terms of property theft, physical abuse, and of course, emotional abuse, neglect. With the more and more NCD cases and people who are amputated or disabled, there's higher risks of abuse and neglect where, they're bedridden and they could get worse because of neglect.
What can your government do to try to curb the incidences of elder abuse?
So we are doing quite a lot of different things. We have a National Council of Older Persons. And through that, from last year, we've been creating a lot of awareness in every district. We're working with town councils to create spaces where older persons can come out and socialize. We have service provision throughout the division. So we have regular events where there are different services provided. People can come and get the health screening done, can report and get counseling done, can report if they're going through difficulties. So we have that. And then we also have toll-free lines available where people can call in and talk to us about any abuse that they may be going through. We are reviewing, developing a national aging policy, and we're working towards review of the laws so that there is stronger protection for older persons. So all the way from awareness, education, toll-free line, and we are hoping that tighter legislations will do more to protect our older persons.
Why do you think these people are vulnerable to abuse?
Like I said, one, they do not want their children impacted, so they do not report the abuse. Two, with a lot more people moving for better opportunities into urban centers or abroad, there is nobody to take care of the older persons around them. Three, I think over time, you know, there's a disconnect between children and parents. Also, you know, we don't enough talk about aging. We don't talk about dementia. People in this fast space are losing patience with older persons when they're not able to communicate or they're not mobile enough to be able to move. And we haven't really been paying a lot of attention to geriatric medicine or creating awareness on what happens with aging, how fragile they can get with aging, you know, especially when many of the older persons may look healthy. The expectation of the family may be that they should move faster or they should be more active. Before, there was a lot more awareness and education around respect for older people, taking time for older people. In this fast-paced age, people are not making enough time for older people. So there is lack of understanding on their needs.
And how widespread do you think the problem is in Fiji?
Quite widespread. We are seeing these cases from rural settings where in the past, the rural settings had much more extended families and much more stronger family networks. But we are seeing a breakdown as people are moving more to urban centers. And due to migration also, we are seeing these cases in urban as well as in rural. Quite a lot in rural and peri-urban as well. Whereas in urban centers, they are able to reach out to more resources or they know where to go to find help. Whereas in urban and peri-urban areas, that has been a challenge. So it is quite widespread.
What's the message you want to get out to your community about elder abuse?
I think it's very important for us to pay attention to what the older persons have done for us. Every time a child is born, the parents, the grandparents have invested a lot of time, energy, emotions, and made us who we are and have taken the time to build a nation that we have. And it is very important that in their old age, they are given the dignity and support and respect. And we have to learn to be much more patient, try and understand them better, and do everything possible to protect them. So their last years in this world, in this life, they are respected, they're looked after. And if you know of any cases of abuse, please report it. Please seek attention. Seek help so our older persons can live with dignity and respect.
That's Sashi Kiran, the Minister for Women, Children and Social Protection in Fiji.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
It's distressing to think about our elders being mistreated by their family. But there are organizations tackling this issue, and some churches are leading the way. In Papua New Guinea, one section of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is raising awareness. They held a meeting recently to talk about the safety, dignity, and well-being of the elderly in their community. Julian Lava helps lead the women's ministry at her local Seventh-day Adventist Church, and she's passionate about ending elder abuse.
Elder abuse is a silent crisis that is affecting so many elders in our society. So our focus is to raise awareness about the prevalence and devastating effects of abuse against older adults and to promote a culture of respect, protection, and care rooted in Christian love and biblical principles. We also seek to equip women and the entire church family with the knowledge and resource needed to identify, to prevent and respond to abuse to the elderly. So the purpose of this initiative is threefold. Number one, firstly, is to educate our congregation about the different forms of elder abuse and its warning signs. And secondly, to empower families, caregivers, and community members to take proactive steps to safeguard our elders. And thirdly, to advocate for the rights and dignity of older adults, ensuring they feel loved, valued, and protected within the church and the wider community.
Why are the older people in the communities being targeted?
There are so many factors that contribute. That can be socio-economical, one of the contributing factor. And I'll speak from the context that I am in now. We have the rise of inflation and living standard is really high. And it's these elderly people are like a burden or something to the immediate families or to the caregivers.
And are elder women more likely to be abused compared to the men?
Well, that we don't have statistics on that. But seeing from where I am, that will be a common factor. Most elderly women are being abused than men. Yeah. In the community. Like, for instance, I share this. Me and my husband just look after his mother. He's really old, and we just looked after him for so many years that she was left alone in the village and no one couldn't take care of her. So we have to bring her to town to take care of her, being with us so she can be taken care of. Because, you know, being in the village, there are people there saying, oh, we are doing this and doing that. And they are tying attachments or strings to it, you know. They expect something out of taking care of the elderly woman and all. So we have to bring her closer to us and take care of her, because in Papua New Guinea, we don't have a caring system for a nursing home for elders. So we are a communal society and we take care of our elders. So seeing the trend that elders are now being not taken care of properly by family members and all this,
And who are mostly responsible for abusing them?
It can be immediate family members, or it can be members of the community within a space where they lived and stayed with. So most of these abuses comes from people that are close.
And what has been the response from your community to this awareness being raised?
It is the first of its kind to have addressed this issue. And it is bringing an impact on the community when this issue was addressed. And people have come to see that, abusing the elder is, it's tangible and it's seen. But no one has ever advocated it or spoken of it, that like they have seen that maybe it's just another normal. They really appreciate the abuse, the message, the responses, that was the advocacy, that was the information that was made to the community. And one of the leaders, she reported to me that we've never seen this, and it is increasing in our family and in our church and in our community. And like, we bring it back to the Bible, that we haven't been honoring our elders, and this has been greatly increasing in our community, which this awareness had made it known to us. And now that we are aware of it, we'll be an advocate.
And Julian, how How can help be provided?
In that church, we do seminars. In terms of funding and all this, we lack that. So what we can do now is, we call it community outreach and all this. We see an elder that is in need, we go and visit. We bring things, we gifts. And these gifts are daily necessities that can take care of them. So the church is having ministries that is helping the elders in our community in terms of physical needs.
And do the elderly know how they can get help?
We told them to come to the church pastor or to the church woman ministry leader to get help from the church. And if they are being abused, if it's serious, we can take it to the next level. We can seek law for that, or we can assist them with them, especially if they are having emotional abuse and all this. We can assist them with counseling and all this.
That's Julian Lava from the Seventh-day Adventist Church's Papua New Guinea Union Mission.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
Where I'm from, we don't expect our elderly people to look after their grandchildren because we believe it ages them. But a Talanoa style study in Aotearoa, New Zealand, threw up some interesting findings about the Pacific diaspora. It interviewed 50 elderly people to find out how they felt about the way their relatives rely on them, particularly when it comes to looking after their grandchildren. It's not that they don't love being a bubu, but the older they get, the harder it is to take care of the little ones. Dr. Juliet Boone from Auckland University of Technology was one of the researchers who did this study.
It was more about the cultural and spiritual abuse of disrespect. So that kind of overlay what the Western view of grandma bashing was, as we see a lot of that in the literature from the Western scholars. But this abuse was more like, if we are to mind our grandchildren, to look after them, we don't mind looking after them. But they feel that the generation nowadays see grandparents as more like babysitters rather than bringing them to functions or activities where they are the knowledge holders and ready to impart the knowledge or the language to, or the genealogy, because a lot of them, when they need to have titles and they need to know how they link themselves to the land and to the wider extended family and the titles. So they feel that this was more their role rather than grandparents minding the children for more than
5.
Average was 3 to 5 hours and sometimes overnight. And they saw that this was more exploitation type of abuse rather than more what we see when they hear that word abuse, because, you know, we have domestic violence abuse, partner violence abuse, but this is more a disrespect. So all of them had different concentrations of how these exploitation and abuse came about. And that's how it was portrayed of the spiritual and cultural abuse. So some of them noted that I wanted to go to church, but then our children come and use all our petrol in our car. And then we don't want to wake up to take us to church because they've been drinking the whole night or whatever they were doing, or shopping, or having, you know, those long, we have long late nights, like in the Friday and Thursday night. Yeah. And some of them say if they see us in the train station, they have no respect for us. They just say, hey, uso. You know how uso sometimes, brother. Yeah. they use that level of language amongst the youth for the elderly people to address elderly people. We have some of the elderly people who have children in the islands who come over to sign over leases or papers. And then it ended up that only one sibling had authority over land rather than a whole generation. So these were some of the things that were brought up by some of our elderly people.
Dr. Boone, did it surprise you to learn that they didn't want to be treated as babysitters?
Some of our ethnic elderly didn't want to say this because they know that they cherish their grandchildren, and they don't want to say this about their kids. So there was a little bit of a reluctance to say this. And this was mainly among our Samoan elders because they feel, oh, no, it is our moral duty to look after our young people. But then when we had the others who kind of were more vocal, yeah, but yes, don't take us wrongly. We love our kids. We love our children. But when it's we can't even crawl under the table anymore, you know, since the toddler or when it's there in the exploring, we're talking about our 70-year-old and 80-year-old says we can't run after them. And it's more a health and safety concern, for them. It wasn't too surprising, but I was waiting if this was going to be voiced. And when I presented a little bit of this in one of the women groups, it was interesting to see the response from some of our young mothers. They says, oh, I have to be mindful now that I leave my kids for the whole day and I go and work. I didn't go and pick them up. Because we don't say this, because we feel that if we say this, it's like our kids might take it wrongly. Oh, you don't love us. But they would say there is a time limit of how we physically can be strong to look after our young people.
In PNG, in Papua New Guinea, there is a belief that elderly parents, they shouldn't be taking care of the grandchildren because we believe that, it ages them quicker. Have you heard of such a belief in other cultures as well?
I think it's the unsaid thing in
yes.
Some of the other cultures. But over here in New Zealand, a lot of our grandparents still take up that role of being grandparents. So you see, what I mean is that it's unsaid. but when you talk to them anecdotally, like off the record, they can say all these things about, now I have to pick up, I can't talk to you because I have to, this is my turn to pick up the kids. But now in this age, it's becoming more apparent that this looking, minding the kids does take a toll on the health of our elderly people.
And tell me about the financial abuse some members of the study reported.
Well, as you know, in New Zealand, we have a welfare system of the benefits. Some of our participants voiced that because some of them are looking after them as carers. So this is actually an official role where they have to look after, and it's very nice in New Zealand where it's now like you get paid to care for your grandparents. But some of them also take ownership of their cards. And some of our, especially the ladies, some of our grandmas, they can actually say this with passion. Yeah, they take our cards and then they use all of it. Like, there's no more shopping for me. And they only give me, one takeaway. But where's the whole shopping for the whole week? Because this is their only means of income. Or, okay, it's my car. But they still ask for me to put the petrol in my car. And if they're using it. And the property one was quite a prominent one. signing over their legal documents. And so those were some of the things. I mean, these are the voices of some of them, but not all of them.
And how did it leave you feeling about elder abuse of Pacifica people?
We tend to think because we're in this modernization age, or maybe post-colonial age, the values have changed for our between our young people and our elderly people. And you can see how this monetization system is being used in such a way where they don't have any more respect. They don't revere our older people. No, this is our job. The money is just a means of helping us to look after our elderly people in this country or in this type of environment. But to actually take all the monies, I agreed with older people that was very, very disrespectful. And you know, you don't do this to your own parents who are, you know, our parents are already now in the 70s and 80s. We do the chores for them or the family obligations for them, whether it's a wedding or a funeral. It is our turn to serve, you know, that word of tautua, serve, yeah. So instead of being tautua, some of our young people are, you know, doing the opposite.
What do you think can be done to combat this abuse?
That's a very important question, and it's actually intergenerational. I believe, I mean, there's some of us who still go to church to ingrain these values, and some of us still have to remind our children the quotes of the, you know, you gotta honor your father and your mother, and it's the same with your grandparents or your elderly. If we still ingrain these values in the home or in the schools or still in the church, you know, these are the institutions where our values are being upheld and taught. And I mean, I like some of the schools where they have a curriculum of, you have to do like 10 hours of volunteer, whether it's to look after your grandparents. And they mark this as part of their growing up curriculum and of part of the social studies. And it's a way to remind our young people not to take advantage of our elderly people. And they are to be looked after well. That's one way. And another way is we have one of our students who has taken the study to the, what we call after PhD, the postdoctoral level. And now she's extended the study to include various groups and having three different faces. And hopefully, whatever voices they bring, they will inform policy.
That's Dr. Juliet Boone from Auckland University of Technology. Thanks to my guests today, Dr. Juliet Boone, Julian Lava, and Minister Sashi Kiran. It's shocking to learn that our society's knowledge holders aren't always given the respect they deserve. And even more shocking to learn they are the victims of abuse. If you know this is happening in your community, you can speak up by reporting it to the police or your local authorities. And in the meantime, give your boo-boos a big hug and look after them. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten. Our supervising producer is Kim Lester. Our executive producer is Faleanga Fulu Inga Stunsna. Sisters Let's Talk is an ABC Radio Australia production. We acknowledge the Yagara, Turrbal and Darumbal peoples on whose land this program is produced. Emtasol na lukimu next time.